Today Shir Masech to Shabbos, Daf Samach Vav. We will begin on Daf Samach Hei on the base, on the bottom line, the beginning of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kiteya Yoitza B'Kav Shaloi. A person who never is missing a leg, or legs, an amputee, they used to wear a wooden foot, and the wooden foot is considered a shoe. They made like something formed out of a leg, and he could wear it on Shabbos. Divrei Rameya, that is the opinion of Rameya. Rabbi Yossi says he may not wear it on Shabbos. So the Machloikus Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand the Machloikus of Rameya and Rabbi Yossi. So the way Rashi explains, that's the way we're going to primarily learn our Gemara Mitzvah Shem, is that the Machlokes of Rameya and Rabbi Yossi is if a wooden shoe is considered a shoe. We've been learning in our Perek that certainly a Malbush one can wear on Shabbos, and that a shoe is certainly considered a Malbush. And Rameya's opinion is that a shoe, even if it's made out of wood, is still considered a shoe. That's Rameya's opinion. Rav Yossi's opinion, however, is that a wooden shoe is not considered a shoe. That's the way Rashi explains the machlokes of Rameya and Rav Yossi. And therefore, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the question if a shoe made out of wood is a shoe or not is not a question that's only limited to Hilchos Shabbos. It refers to other situations as well. Tosfos is not happy with that pshat, because Tosfos, amongst many other questions, why should it make a difference what material the shoe is made out of, if it's made out of wood or it's made out of leather? And therefore, Tosfos learns the question is an entirely different issue. Since it's not a shoe that normally is worn comfortably, and if it's not a shoe that's normally worn comfortably, Rameya says it's still a shoe. And since it's still a shoe, we don't have to worry that somebody's going to take it off and carry it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. But if it doesn't have, but if it's Rav Yossi holds, since it's not a normal shoe, we have to be concerned, as we've been concerned so many times in this perek, that the person is going to take it off and carry it on Shabbos, and that's why you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, v'miyeis loy beis kibul katitin, but if this wooden foot has a place where they kept rags for the person, if it's cut, that you could have some rags over there to keep it comfortable. So therefore, then it's made out of wood. And as we've learned many times, that something that's made out of wood is only mekabel tumah if it has a base kibble, and only if it has a receptacle. If it doesn't have a receptacle, it's not mekabel tumah. So therefore, says the Mishnah, a wooden leg that just a piece of wood would not be mekabel tumah. Only if it has a receptacle, then is a mekabel tumah. Now, the question is, even if it doesn't have the space to carry the rags to make it comfortable, to cushion, but it carries the foot, it carries the leg. And why, therefore, isn't considered a base kibble if it isn't made that way? So Rashi already says, since in order for a wood keli to be makabel tumah, or to say it better, why is there a halacha that we just said that wood is only makabel tumah if it has a base kibble? So the Gemara we've learned many times explains, because it has to be dumya the sack. It has to be similar to the sack, a bag. A bag is considered a bag because you put things in and out of the bag. You don't put things on top of the bag. So the fact that you put the leg of this amputee on top of the kli of the wood doesn't give it the characteristic of a base kibble. Another pshat that I saw, the Chazon Ish seems to say, the definition of a base kibble is that sometimes you have something in the base kibble and sometimes it's empty. Sometimes it's full and sometimes it's empty. The part that the leg is on is always there. So therefore, that can't be considered a base kibble. Continues the Mishnah. What they used to have for the person who's the amputee, that they used to put like leather supports on the bottom of his feet, so that they didn't make for him anything that he should be able to walk. They didn't make any prosthetics or any wood leg. He has whatever part of his legs he still has. And then he has like leather supports on the bottom because he moved himself that way. And in order not to scrape himself, they have these leather pieces on the bottom of his leg, tamei medrash. We've discussed many times in our shiurim that leather, that azov, has a very specific type of tumah. Anything that the zov sits on, lays on, supports himself on, becomes tumah tumas medrash. Mishkev and Moshev, the Torah discusses. Tumas medrash is a very serious tumah. The zov that puts himself onto something which is a medrash, the halach is that object becomes an av hatumah. And says the Mishnah that these leather supports on bottom of the legs of this individual are there for medrash, and since they're there for medrash, for the zov to support himself on, they become tumah tumas medrash. The yoytz mem b'shabbos, the halach is that this person may wear them on Shabbos, v'nichnasim b'bazara. Even though the halach is, the Gemara we learned in Masech the Brachos, daf nun dalar amar alef teaches us, that ein nichnas lo yikanes adam lahar bayis b'minaloi, you're not allowed to walk into the har bayis wearing shoe. These smuchos are not considered shoes. And since they're not considered shoe, then you're not allowed to, you may walk into the Harabayas, where you may walk into the Harabayas or to the Azara wearing these shoes. Next, they used to have a different way for this amputee to move himself. They used to have kisei, they used to have a chair, the smuchishaloi, and like different support, like on the bottom of his legs that we just learned. So the chair is meant, it's a low chair, we'll discuss it more in a moment, that on which this person would sit and propel himself. So this chair is meant to sit on. The smuchas, we just discussed a minute ago, why both of them are mekabel tumas medrash. They have all of the characteristics of a tumas medrash. However, they used to also have a small chair. A small chair that that this is the way the person who propelled himself, he would take that, he would sit on the chair, he would be tied to the chair, because otherwise we're concerned that he's going to fall off the chair, and with that stool, he used to move himself along. The halacha is that you're not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. Since we need to be concerned that this stool on the bottom is going to fall out of place and he's going to have to carry it, or somebody's going to have to carry it to get him back to where he is. That's why you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Rashi gives explanation that we're not worried about the bench, the little stool. We're worried about the smuchas. The smuchas for this person aren't that critical, because he could move himself with the chair and stool. And anything which is not critical for the person, he can't wear on Shabbos. Only what he needs to be able to walk, that to be able to move himself, that is considered you're allowed to move on Shabbos. Anything that he doesn't, that you're allowed to take on Shabbos, anything that's not critical to his being able to move, he may not wear on Shabbos or use on Shabbos. And of course, this is a very, very important point, la loch lemaisa. The question that comes up is a person who needs a cane to be able to walk, allowed to go out on Shabbos with the cane? The answer is, and this is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, and this is the halacha, that if it's a cane that you need to walk, and without that cane you can't really walk, so the halacha is that you can walk out carrying the cane. But it has to be a cane that you can't walk without. The Paiskim, when they paskin the shilas, if a person is allowed to go out with a cane on Shabbos, again, obviously in a place where there's no Erev, they ask the person, when you walk in your house, do you take your cane? Do you take your walker? If the answer is yes, I always need my walker, unfortunately. I always need my cane. Then the halacha is that he could carry his cane outside on Shabbos as well. But if the person doesn't need the cane all the time, let's say the cane only helps him balance himself, but he could walk, says the Mishnah Berurah, without the cane, or in the house, he walks without the cane. He only is carrying that cane for an insurance policy. He's concerned that he doesn't have a good enough balance, and he only takes it therefore under certain situations, or in those days, nowadays, there are some people maybe like that as well, who carry a cane as a siman. There are rebbes that always walk with a cane, but it's not like they need the cane to walk. Such a cane, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. There's an interesting question. What's going to be the halacha if somebody needs a wheelchair? Is he allowed to go out on Shabbos with the wheelchair? So the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Bey Simen Kuf Yudalid is not that lenient. And he says that the only time that he could go out with a wheelchair is if he's going to wheel the wheelchair, but somebody else may not push the wheelchair. And that's what it seems is the psak of the Har Tzvi as well. Many paiskim are lenient that they don't have that. If there's an akum who's available to push the wheelchair, that would be satisfactory as well. Continues the Mishnah. So ve'nichnasim ben bazara, these smuchas that are worn by this type of a amputee may not considered like a shoe. And since they're considered like a shoe, as we discussed a few moments ago, they may not be worn in the Azara. Luktamin, or a type of a mask, we'll discuss it in the Gemara. Tahirim are not mekabel tumah. They're not considered a keli, and they're not mekabel tumah. Vein yoytz mehem, and you may not go out to the Rishus HaRabim with the luktamin on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Amle Rav Nachman, Hechet Tanan. Our Mishnah began with a machloikus of Ramei and Rabbi Yossi about the wooden shoes, again with Rashi's pshat, that were worn by these amputees. They weren't sure who held what. Who's the one between Ramei and Rabbi Yossi that holds you can't wear it on Shabbos, and who's the one that holds you can't wear it on Shabbos? So he said, Amalei lo yadana, I don't know. Says the Gemara, then he asked him, Hilchos Amai, what's the halacha about wearing these shoes? Amalei, to which he also responded, lo yadana, I don't know. Itmar, says the Gemara, Amishmul ena kiteya, that Ramei's opinion is that a kiteya may not walk out with such shoes on Shabbos. The Kain Amar Rav Huna, and so too said Rav Huna, the Ena Kiteya, the Ramei is the word, the Ramei is the opinion that says you can't, and Rav Yossi is the opinion that you may. Amar Rav Yosef, so comments Rav Yosef, Ham of Amar Shmuel Ena Kiteya, since that's the version that Shmuel taught us, Vam Rav Huna Ena Kiteya, and that's the version that Rav Huna taught us, Anan Nami Nesni, so that will be the version that we will learn as well, the Ene Kiteya. The Rameyer is the Machmer, and Rabbi Yossi is the Mekel. Maskula Rav Bashira, Lashmila Hod Maskula Rav Chanan,
by Rav Lechi, by Rav Kameid, Rav Bikatuna de Barav, did you not hear what they taught in the yeshiva of Rav? That Eina Kitei Yotz Loi B'Kav Shaloi, that the Kitei may not wear this wooden shoe, Divir Reb Meir, the version that Shmuel and Rav Huna just taught us, Rav Yossi Matar, and Rav Yossi says he may. However, when they learned it this way in front of Rav, Rav said, Umach V'Lei Rav Epoch. Rav said, no, reverse the opinions. And that it's Rav Meir who's lenient, and it's Rav Yossi who's Machmer. And Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, if you want to have a way to remember who is the Mekel and who is the Machmer, the Simonach Samach Samach. Remember the letter Samach. The letter Samach is in the word Osir. The letter Samach appears in Reb Yossi's name. Like that, you'll remember that it's Reb Yossi who is the Machmer. Says the Gemara, even though we just learned that Shmuel was the man the Omer that says that Reb Yossi is the Mekel and Reb Meir is the Machmer, says the Gemara, ultimately Shmuel reversed his opinion. The Tanan, we know, Rachman Letzlon, if somebody passes away without children, so his wife either has to have Chalitza or Yibam. Surviving brother should either marry the wife, Yibam, or Chalitza. Now part of the Chalitza process is you take off the shoe from the person. And the halacha is that the Yavam wears the shoe and you have to take off the shoe. Says the Mishnah in Masechta Yevamos, Chaltza b'sando shena shaloi, in the Chalitza procedure, she took off the shoe from the Yavam with a shoe that he doesn't own. B'sandal shalaitz, with a wood shoe, oy shal smol b'yamin. The halacha is that the Chalitza has to be done on the stronger foot. So if you put on the right foot, which is typically the stronger foot, a shoe which is meant for the left foot, the halacha is Chalitza Kshera. The Chalitza is still a kosher Chalitza. Verminin, and when we learned that Mishnah, Mantana, who's the mandama that says, and what's relevant to our shear, is that even though it's a wood shoe, it's still considered a shoe, and therefore the Chalitza is a valid Chalitza. Vamina Mantana, whose opinion does that represent? And Om Shmuel, Rameyihi, the Tanan, because Rav Shmuel says, Ramey says, Akitei Yotze B'Kav Shaloi, Akitei may wear the wood shoe on Shabbos, Devi Rameyi, Rav Yossi Oyser. So we see that it's Shmuel ultimately agreed that Ramey is the one that holds a wood shoe as a shoe, and that's his opinion in our Mishnah, and that's his opinion in the Mishnah in Masechta Yevamos. Says the Gemara, Vav Rav Huna Hadabei, even though we started this piece of Gemara with Rav Huna telling us that it's Rav Meir who holds that a wood shoe is not a shoe, and that Rav Yossi holds that a wood shoe is a shoe, Rav Huna ultimately reversed himself. The Tanya, Sandal Shel Seiden, the people who used to work with plaster, the plaster was very toxic, and it would ruin the shoes. So they used to put on top of the sandal a straw sandal to protect the shoes. Tomei Medris, it's considered a shoe. And as we discussed when we learned the Mishnah, that a shoe, that anything that's used to support the Zov can become Tomei Medris. Visha Chaletzespa, and a woman could use it for Chalitza. V'yotzim of Shabbos, and it could be worn on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. V'loi hoidoloi. And they didn't agree that a shoe made of straw should be considered a shoe. Ask the Gemara, but we learned in a Mishnah that Hoidaloi, that they did agree that it's considered a shoe. To which Rav Huna says, Man Hoidaloi, who's the one that agrees that a shoe, even though it's not made out of leather, it's made out of straw, is considered a shoe? Rameyer. Man Loi Hoidaloi, who's the one that says that it's not considered a shoe? Reb Yossi. So what do we see? That Rav Huna ultimately held that Reb Meir is the one that holds that the wood shoe is a shoe, and Reb Yossi is the one that holds that the wood shoe is not a shoe. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Another one, who else did not agree with Rabbi Kiva? Man loy hoydaloy. Who else that did not agree with Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri. The Tanan. Machzalas akash, v'kaveri shal kash. Shakronim. Machzalas kaveri shal kash is a basket that's made out of straw. V'shaferi shal konim. It's a small basket made out of reeds. Rabbi Kiva matama. Rabbi Kiva holds that the makabel tuma, that even though they're made out of these materials, they're still makabel tuma. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri matar. Since they're made out of straw, they're not makabel tuma. So what do we see? The Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that something made out of straw is not in the category of straw. And as I saw, the Tosfos, the Ramaskal Kaveris, explains the Machlokes. Rabbi Kiva holds that straw is considered like wood. One pshat is, the Gemara Masech, the Brochus, Daf Mem and Aleph, teaches us that Ilan Shochel Menu Adam Arishin, the tree that Adam Arishin ate from Chita Haisa. Chita comes with straw. And we see that straw is called a tree. Another pshat that I saw is that since straw is a hard material and it grows from the ground, so it has similar characteristics to wood. And since it has these similar characteristics to wood, Rabbi Kiva holds that it has a din like wood. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, however, held that straw is not wood. And since straw is not wood, it doesn't have the characteristics. It's not, even though wood, as we keep on learning, is makabel tuma, straw is not makabel tuma. So we see that who disagrees with Rabbi Kiva about a straw keli? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Amamar, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva taught us that the sandal shell sidon, the sandal, the protective item that the straw that they wore around the shoe, a tamei midras. Ask the Gemara, why are they tamei midras? What is the definition of tamei midras? Something that the zav uses to support himself. A shoe is used to support yourself when you walk, wherever you're walking. But these shoes, ask the Gemara, halav liluche ovid. They're not meant to walk. And as the Tosfos, the Ramask of Va'or, Va'or explains in the name of Ri, something is not makabel tuma midras if only we had this concept earlier in our perek on Daf Nun Tesom and Aleph, where the Gemara said that it has to be made for the purpose of support. This shoe, as the Gemara, Tosfos explains, is not meant for support. It's only meant to protect your shoes. And since it's not meant to support the person, it's meant to support your it's meant to support, to protect your shoes. It shouldn't be, it's like Amr v'nasa malachteinu that we learned on Daf Nun Tes. And it shouldn't be Makabel Tumas Medris. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is, Amr of Achabar of Ula, Shekena Sayyid Matayel Ba'at Shemagila Beisai. Somebody who's painting did not immediately take these items off his shoe. They used to walk home that way with the shoe cover on top of the shoe. And only when they got home did they remove it. Since only when they got home did they remove it, so they walked with it. So if they walked with it, says Rabbi Kiva, it falls into the category of a shoe. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the other Tanoim, obviously of the opinion, that doesn't change what its main purpose is. Its main purpose is not for that purpose, and since it's not that, since it was not meant for that purpose, it's not makabel tuma medras. But we learned in the Mishnah that if the foot, the shoe, this wooden shoe, has in it a place to put rags for a cushion, then it's makabel tuma. V'im yesh lo beis kibul ketitin, then we learned in the Mishnah tuma it's makabel tuma. Om abaya, tuma tumas mes. When we spoke in the Mishnah that's makabel tuma, the Kabbalah's tuma that we're talking about is tumas mes, but not tumas medras, because it's not meant to be a real support like a shoe, like a mattress. And Rav Amar, Rava disagrees and he says, Af Tamei Medrash. Since he supports himself on it, so then it's considered something for Tamei Medrash. Omer Rava, Menah Minallah, from where do I come to this decision? The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Beya, Agola Shat Katan. They had this little wagon that children have to play. And they used, and sometimes they put the child into the wagon. Even though that's not really what the wagon was meant for, since the child sometimes lays in that wagon, so it has the din of a Tumas Medrash. So we see that even though it's not used on a regular basis for Medrash, the fact that sometimes it's used for that purpose, that should be enough to make it have a Tumas Medrash. And Rabbi Omar, Rabbi says you can't bring a raya from there. Hossam, by this wagon, Samachalei, the child is laying in that wagon. So it really has all of the characteristics of a Mishkev and Moshev. Hocha, but when it comes to this wooden foot that the crippled individual is wearing, Lo Samachalei, he doesn't really use it for support. It's used just for comfort, and therefore it's not Tumas Mishkev and Moshev. Amar Rabbi Menar Minala, so Abai says, where do I say that, where do I see that something which is not really used for full support is not Makabel Tumas Medrash? From something that we discussed earlier in our shir, Maklash is a Kanim Tar Miklum, that a stick that elderly people use just to balance themselves, that is not considered Tumas Medrash. Because again, it's not Tumas Medrash because it's not meant for full support, this person could walk without them. So of course the Rishonim point out, a stick shouldn't be makabel tuma because we keep on learning that pshute kleitz, a piece of wood that doesn't have a receptacle, is not makabel tuma. So this is a stick, a cane. So that's why it's not makabel tuma. So I saw that the Rishonim answer that this halacha, the pshute kleitz anam mekabel tuma, is talking by tumas oil. It's talking by tumas sheretz, tumas mess, and tumas sheretz. But the tuma that we're discussing in this year, this new tuma that applies by azov, tumas medrash, there is no difference by kleitz if it has a base kibble or it doesn't have a base kibble. It's always mekabel tuma. V'rava and Rava, why according to Rava would the cane not be Mekabel Tumas Medrash? Hossam, as we just said, the Terutzi Sagya Avda. It's only help the person be able to support, to balance himself. It's not that he needs that to walk. Hocha, but when we speak about the wooden foot of the amputee of our Mishnah, L'smuch alayu Davida, he completely supports himself on it, V'samach alay, and therefore it would be Mekabel. Therefore, it is Mekabel Tumas Medrash. I did not see the Rishonim or Achronim discuss regarding Tumas Medrash, just like when we spoke about in Hilchos Shabbos earlier in our shir, that if it's a cane that the person needs to walk, without it he can't walk, then he's allowed to carry it on Shabbos, otherwise he may not. Do we make the same distinction by Tumas Medrash? That only a cane that the person could walk without it won't be Mekabel Tumas Medrash. But let's say Nebuch, we're talking about an individual who can't walk without the cane. Maybe there, certainly Rava at least would agree that since it's so essential to his being able to walk, he should be Mekabel Tumas Medrash. Tamei Medrash, we learned about the chair and the smuchim of this person, of Metam Medrash, Ve'en Yoytzim and B'Shabbos, Ve'en Nechnosim Bem Lazaro. Says the Gemara, that I hold that you may wear it in the Azara. Amalei, Anishayna, I just said on Amun Aleph that Isha Chaletzespa, that it could be used for Chalitza. If it could be used for Chalitza, it's obviously considered a shoe. So if it's considered a shoe, as we quoted the Gemara Masechta Brachos, you're not allowed to walk into the Azara with a shoe. Vat Amrit, so how could you say that Nechnosim, that you could walk into the Azara with such thing, with this tani, and therefore he says that the brisa should be modified to say, "Ein nechnasim b'Azara." We learned further in the Mishnah that luktonim are tahira, anamakabal tuma, and men, but you may not go out on Shabbos with them. Ask the Gemara, my luktonim, exactly what are luktonim? Amravua, chamra da akfa. They used to have something that looks like a wooden donkey, and clowns would wear them, so to speak. What it looked like was that they would have a head of a donkey on a stick, which would be put between the performer's legs, and it would look that as if he's riding on a donkey. But really, this contraption was hung from his shoulders. So it's not a keli. And if it's not a keli, you're not allowed, it's not makabel tuma. But since it's not a malbush, you're also not allowed to carry it on Shabbos. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, that if somebody would walk out wearing this on Shabbos, it wouldn't be an issa d'oraisa. Because since this is not the normal way where somebody, the way somebody carries something, so that's why it's not considered a masa d'oraisa. Rava Papa Amar, that what is it? Kishiri. It's that they used to, it's stilts that they used to walk in muddy area. Now, stilts that they used to walk in muddy area, the namakabal tuma, going back to what we discussed just a moment ago, because the pshute kleitz, of course, they should be makabal tuma smegris, because as we just said, anything that is meant to support, even if it's made out of wood, is makabal tuma. And therefore, Tosfos says, the reason the namakabal tuma is then the real purpose is not meant to support the person. Since they were only worn occasionally to help somebody not have to walk in mud, so that's why it's not considered like tumas medris, something that's there to give weight, to support your weight. Rava Barafuna Amar Parami. These are masks that were worn by people to frighten children. And therefore, again, they're not a keli, and they may not be worn on Shabbos because they're not a malbush either. That's Rashi's pshat. The Rif explains that they used to have something that they put around the mouth to catch any saliva that came out of the mouth. And others say that if there was any person sometimes has saliva rolling down the sides of his face, that was put around his clothing, not to let his clothing get dirty. That's what Parmi is. Says the Mishnah, Habanim Yoytzim B'Ksharim, boys could go out with knots. We'll see soon why, what the purpose was. B'nei Melachim could wear Zugim, such golden bells. And actually says the Gemara V'Kol Adam, anybody could walk out that way. El Shadibru Chachamim B'Haiva. Who usually wore these bells? The B'nai Melachim. So that's why the Mishnah speaks about the B'nai Melachim, but everybody really. So I saw a very nice pshat, Alpi Drush, in our Mishnah. How do we explain the words of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says that Habanim Yoytzim B'Ksharim. So the Sefer Yosha Divrei Emes explains, people, Banim Yoytzim B'Ksharim, We are Bonim Lamakim. We are children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since we're children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to be Mekusher. We have to be tied, connected all the time to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubnei Melachim, people, Talmidei Chachamim, it's not enough for Talmidei Chachamim just to be Ksharim, just to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but actually Talmidei Chachamim have to be go out bezogim. Zogim are bells, as we discussed many times in this perek, in this mesech, the bells. Bells make noise. It is the obligation of a Talmud Chacham to be zogim, to make noise, to spread the word of Hashem. And says the Mishnah, it's not just really the job of the B'nai Melachim. It's not just the job of the Talmud Chachamim. It's everybody's job, But says the Mishnah, El Shadibra Chacham Bahoiva, what happens usually is that it's the Talmid Chacham to take on that responsibility of spreading the word of Hashem. I also saw a vart from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, El Shadibra Chacham Bahoiva, the Mishnah could be explained, Al Piderch Drush, Shadibra Chachamim, when Chachamim say something, Bahoiva, what they say, Hoiva, happens. That's the power of Talmid Chachamim. We add that as well. That Tzadik Goyzer v'Akadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. Dibru Chachamim. What the Chachamim say, Behoiva, is what happens. Begins the Gemara. As we learned in the Mishnah says that Habonim Yoytzim B'Ksharim. Ask the Gemara, Mike Sharim, exactly what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Amar Adamari, Amar of Nachman Bar Baruch, Amar of Ashi Bar Ovin, Amar of Yehuda, Kshurei Poa. As we discussed so many times in this Masechta, in those days when people weren't well, or we'll speak about this even more, even if they were well sometimes, they used to make a kameya, and they used to make a kameya out of a plant called a pua, and that was, and the halacha is that you could wear such a plant on Shabbos. Amar Abaya, Amar Li Aim. As we learn often in Shas, Abaya was a Yosem from a very young age. In fact, that's what his name stands for. Abaya stands for Ashebecha Yerucham Yosem. So Abaya says, Amar Li Aim. So he was raised by a nurse. And throughout Shas, that nurse is called Aim. My nurse taught me, Tlosem Mukmi, if you have three knots, they contain the disease. Chamisha, if you make it with five knots, they'll heal it. Shiva, and if you have it with seven knots, afilu l'kshafim ali, then there's no problem at all. We're going to begin a discussion in today's shir that different refuas that they were in those times. Rabbi Kiva Eger tells us in the Gilyan Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya Shim Laman Aleph Sif Aleph, quoting the Maril, that all of these different refuas that are mentioned in Shas, we may not do Bizman Hazeh. And not only don't they work Bizman Hazeh, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, we shouldn't do them. Because if you're going to try, and since Nishtanu, Ativan, everything changed, they're not going to work. And what's going to happen is that people are not going to have the respect for the Divrei Chazal, because people are going to say, I did what the Gemara said, and it didn't help me. So not only, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, they don't help, you shouldn't even do it, because it only will cause that people won't respect the Divrei Chazal. Also, the Rashba makes a very important point in all these different refuas that are being mentioned in the Gemara. They only work, says the Rashba, that if you believe in them. If you don't believe in them, they're not going to work. Amar of Achba Yaakov, Hudalai Chazu, when we speak about the plant, this plant that the poor, that they're using to make this knot to carry, Hudalai Chazu Shimsha Vasara. It was not, this plant was not exposed to sunlight or moonlight. There was never rain on it. Or you never heard metal clanking. Or I never heard Karlta and Glossa. I never heard the sound of a rooster. The Kal Nigri, nor did I hear the sound of footsteps. Amram Nachma Yitzchak, Nafu Puta Bebira. So I could throw it into a bar. To find a plant that meets all of this criteria is highly unlikely. My area bonim, asked the Gemara, so if that's what this is, why is only boys that weird? I feel bonus nami. Furthermore, my area ktanim, why only for young children? I feel gdolim nami. Says the Gemara, therefore I have a whole different definition. Al my ksharim, ki hada amar avin barhuna amar av chama baguria, ben sheesh le gagun aloviv. If you have a son who misses his father, what should he do? Noitl ritsua. Miminal shel yamin, take a strap from his right shoe. V'koishaloi psamaloi, take that shoelace and tie it on the left arm of the boy, and that will take away that sadness. Arav Nachman be Yitzchak, the simonach tefillin, and the simon is by tefillin that we've tied the tefillin on our left hand. I saw that the Ran has a different pshat, that there's a child whose father is very ill, and since his child's father is very ill, they're concerned he's going to die and he's not going to be able to deal with it. This is what they used to do to prevent that problem. Another pshat that I saw the Meiri suggests is that they used to do this against an ayin hara. Says the Gemara v'chilufa, but what happens if you put, instead of putting the right shoelace on the left hand, you put the left shoelace on the right hand? Says the Gemara, that would be a sakana. Ramosha, in the Drash Moshe, has a very interesting way of explaining the Gemara. He says, a person, the Gemara ben sheyesh le'gagun alaviv, refers to every one of us. And every one of us has gagun. We all want to be connected to Hashem. What is the way to be connected to Hashem? What is the way that we can take and remember Hashem? Put the tefillin, which we put on the left hand. And as we say, when we put on the tefillin, the L'Shem Yichud that many people say before we put on the tefillin is that Sheshavad Libeinu Machshviseinu, we want to completely connect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara further, Amar Avin Bar Huna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Schufei Kasa Ashiburei. They used to take a hot cup over the stomach on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Shapi Dami, and that's what they used to take a cup that they heated up something in, and it was still hot. The halacha is that somebody who's stomach ache, that would help him digest the food. Other pshat is that if the stomach was not properly aligned, this would help to do it. So of course the obvious question is, ask the Rambam, we've learned many times, and we're going to learn, that medicine is also on Shabbos. Medicine is also on Shabbos because of Shechika Samamonim. So why is this not Osir? So the Rambam says a very big chiddush. He says that anything that is not done with a medicine. Why is medicine also on Shabbos? Because of Shechika Samamonim. Chazal were concerned you may come to make a medicine. But anything that doesn't involve a medicine, like here, where it's done through this procedure, is not considered refuah that's also on Shabbos. V'amar Avin Bachuna, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Mutar Losuch Shemen HaMelech B'Shabbos. You let him smear a mixture of oil and salt on somebody's hands and feet on Shabbos, that will take away if somebody got drunk. Ki Hadar Rav Huna Mebei Rav, Rav Mebei Reb Chiyah, Reb Chiyah Mebei Rebi, Ki Ava Masmi, if they drank too much, Maisa Mishcha Malcha, they would bring this mixture of oil and salt. V'shayfala gavyosa the dayu, they would smear the palm of their hands. V'gavaisa the kervayu, and the sole of the feet. V'amri, kehecha the tzil ha-mishcha. Just like this mixture is thinning out, litzel chamri the plani barpansi, may the effect of the wine also leave this person. V'loi, and if you can't find oil and salt, Maisa Shia the dana, take the clay seal of a barrel, v'sharle b'maya, soak it in water of amma. Keich de litzel haishia, litzel cham de plani b'plamsa, the effect of the wine should go away. V'amma, oven bar huna amma rav chama bar gurya, mutar l'chanik b'shabbos. This speaks about if somebody's neck bone goes out of place, you could manipulate it back into place. So, of course, we're referring to a situation where it's not a sakonas nefashos. And again, we say the same word from the Rambam that we said a moment ago, that here it's again a situation where this is always never done with a medicine. And since it's never done with a medicine, it's not in the category of shchikas amamonim. V'kein v'amar oven bar huna, amar avcham avgunya, lefufi yunka b'shabes shabes sedami. They used to wrap infants in blankets in order to straighten out the bones on Shabbos, and the halacha is that this may be done on Shabbos as well. I did see that there are Rishonim that say that certainly the day the child is born, you may do so, because that's required for the child to, as soon as he's born, to straighten out. The chiddush is that even if it's not the first day that the child is born, you may do this. Rapapa Mas Nabonim, Rapapa, when he taught us these halachas, said two halachas in the name of Oven Bahona. He taught us two halachas in that name, Rav Zav the Masna Ben. And the Mara explains itself. Rav Papa Masna Boni, but Tavai Masna Le, Avin Bahuna, that two halachas were said. The halacha about the child who missing his father with the bands, and the second one, that you could put the blankets around the child that was born. Rav Zav the Masna Ben, the Kamaisa, the first halacha about the child who's missing his father, that he learned Avin Bahuna. Vahai, but the second halacha about putting the blankets around the child that's born, Masnlo Rabbi Bar Bachana, Domer Rabbi Bachana, Lefuki Yukim B'Shapta Shapadami. Continues the Gemara. Amar Bai Amrali M. Kom Minyana. Whenever you say a tefillah, you say B'Shma De'ima. You use the mother's name. The Kol Kitri. Whenever you make these ksharim that we spoke about earlier in the shir, you should tie on the small on the left hand. Amar Bai Amrali Meim. Kom minyana de mefarshe, as many, whenever you have a lachash, a nusach that you're supposed to say, how many times should you say it? Kan mefarshi, as is instructed. V'loy mefarshi, when there is no clear instruction, you should say it arba v'chad zimni 41 times. So here the Gemara teaches us a very important halacha, that whenever somebody davens for somebody, he should use, for a sick person, we should use the mother's name. Why should we use the mother's name? So there are many reasons given. One reason is that women have less averis. They're not mechuyev in Talmud Torah. They're not mechuyev in mitzvah saseishes man grama. So since they have less averis, their schusim are more important. Another reason that the mefarshim give is because everybody knows for sure who their mother is. A father, we rely, as the Gemara says, on Roiv and Chazaka. So therefore, that's more of a powerful one to rely on. The Pasuk actually says it, because David HaMelech says, Ani Avdecha Ben Amosecha. So David HaMelech already mentions his mother when he davens. But even though we're saying that when a person's alive and we're davening for him, we mention his mother's name, after a person passes away and we mention the name, there we've mentioned the father's name, says the Sefer Chassidim. And the reason is, because the Gemara Masechta Nida Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph teaches us that the flesh and blood of a person come from his mother. His bones come from his father. And the only thing that's left of a person after he passes away is his bones. And since the bones come from the father, we mention at that point the father's name. Also, a halacha that we mentioned previously, that even though when we daven for somebody, so we daven, we use the mother's name, that's only when we're not davening in the presence of the person whom we are davening for. But if we're in the presence of the person who we're davening for, we don't have to mention the name. We learned further, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan Yoytzim Be'evan Tekuma B'Shabbos. A woman can wear the stone that they used to wear to protect their pregnancy. Mishra Mei Amar, Afa Mishkel Evan Tekuma. That sometimes they didn't wear that stone. They wore a weight that against the stone. V'loy Shapila, and not only is it in a situation where a woman miscarried, even if she's wearing a Shematapel, that she's worried that she may miscarry. V'loy Shibra, and even if she's not pregnant, El Shemet, she's worried that it's Abba V'tapel. Under all these circumstances, she could wear this stone. So I saw that Ramosha says, based on this Gemara, from here we see that included in the category of refuah is not just something which is actually a refuah, something which is just even preventative, because she isn't even pregnant, but still considered in the category of refuah. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yemir Bashalmi Mishmei Dabaya, V'huda Evan V'askel, all these counterweights have to be the exact same weight as the stone. The counterweight of a counterweight may be worn on Shabbos, teku. A person that gets fever every day, should take a white zuz, a coin, should go to a place where they evaporate salt, they let the water go through a place, and the sun is on that water and evaporates the water and you're left with salt. Veliska maska melcha, and take against it the weight of the salt of that coin. Veltzar b'chalol de beit tzaver, he should tie the salt by the neck opening of his shirt where his top button is open, but near a back with a strand of hair. Viloy, if that's not available, lace of a precious drachem, he should sit by the crossroad. V'kichaza shumshunad gamli the dori midi, when he sees a large ant carrying something, lishkalev l'shadye b'gufsav nechasha, he should take that ant and put it into a copper tube. V'listame b'avar, and seal that tube with lead. V'lichtame b'shitin gushmini, and seal it with 60 seals. Rashi says that many times the Gemara uses that number. It doesn't mean necessarily 60, just seal it well. For a vazale, shake the tube, vlidre, and carry it. Vlemle tuna alive, tuna salach. Amle rachabarader funle ravashi. Vidima enish ashkechevsekbe. Maybe this ant was already used previously, so you can't use it over again. Alemle to annoy my burden, vetunach, and your burden, Allah. Viloy, and if that this is not available, lishka kuza charita, you should take a new small earthenware vessel, v'leiz in Nahara, go to the river, v'leim alei, nara nara, uzven kuzin demay l'urcha diklali, lend me a vessel full of water to heal me from the disease that comes to me, v'lad ha'shev zamna al-resha, he should circle his head with this 7 times, v'lishden l'achure, and then throw it behind him into the river, v'leim alei, nahara nahara, shkol maya diyaftali, d'urcha diklali, b'yoyme osa, what the disease I have should just immediately go away.